Well, welcome here, everybody. Those of you who don't know, I'm Jeremy Adrian, one of the pastors here at Westside, pastor of Family Ministries, and we're here to talk about parenting today. Just to give you a little bit of info about myself, just quickly, starting from probably, I guess, when I met Jody, met her, dated her for about a year and a half. She fell in love with me. I said, all right. And she reeled me in and told lies to me, so I married her. And we started having kids about 5 years later. We've been married for 17 years now, starting in, I guess, 17 years, June 4th is our anniversary. So we expect a lot of presents, and we appreciate that. We like chocolate and goodies. We have a boy who is 11, a daughter who is 9, and another daughter who is 7, and another daughter who is 4. We love our kids like crazy, but I'll tell you a little bit more about them, I guess, as we get going, and you'll hear lots of stories about them. I think as you parent, I think the biggest thing is you learn from your mistakes, and you learn as you go along for sure. So just to encourage you as you continue to walk in to parenting. Looks like we got a mic happening, if you couldn't hear me already. But welcome here. Thanks for taking the time out of your Thursday night and join us here to learn more about what God has to say about parenting and as we grasp some truths of how we as parents are responsible to train up our children in a God-centered way. For those of you who don't know, we do have on the city, if you're part of the city already, it's our online social network. We have a parent group on there that you can check out, Westside Parents, and sign up for that group. And I would love for you to do that. I've started putting things on there already, some articles and different bibliographies. There's about 30 or so books that I put on this bibliographies regarding raising your kids and different tips like that. So great. And I'll just keep adding to that as I come across books. And please, if you find a book that really encourages you, let me know so I can read it and we can pass it along. So I encourage you to get on that page, as well as I'll throw on different information on there as well, just in regards to keeping everybody on the same page as Westside Parents. We want to be encouraging to you, as well as just getting in your hands things down the line that I would love to see happen without breaking any photocopy laws of getting curriculum for your kids for Sunday school, getting those in your hands so you can start walking through Sunday school, what your kids are learning on a Sunday morning, and then you can follow along with them during the week and follow up with them on what they're learning, and also just to be encouragement for you as well. If you haven't already seen, there's some things on there on that website already, so I just encourage you to check that out. But before I get into parenting your child, I would like to start with you guys. Jesus says in his scripture that we ought to pull the plank out of our own eye before we see the speck in our neighbor's. And I think this rule really applies with parenting as well. Group Magazine, as well as an array of authors like Chap Clark, Dr. Tim Kimmel, Dr. James Dobson state, though children and youth are highly influenced by peers, friends, culture around them, they still hold dad and mom's word and influence higher than all others. And I think that's an encouraging thing, but also just it's a hard, humbling thing as well. Kids may not share that, and you may never feel that, but you need to know that whether you know it or not, you are your child's greatest influencer. This means they will watch you when you're awake. They'll watch you hanging out with friends. They'll watch you when you're driving, how you deal with the guy ahead of you. They'll watch you. I'm not sure if it's ever happened to you. It's never happened to me. Excuse me. But when you get pulled over and red lights and blue lights are on and there's an officer stand by your door, is this familiar with anybody? I've seen it on the road and stuff, but. And then they talk to you and they hand you pieces of paper and stuff. And your kids will watch you in that time. They'll watch you when you're hanging out, when you're reading, when you're napping, when you're doing things, when you read what books you're reading. They'll watch everything. They'll actually watch you when you're sleeping. Our second daughter, I'm not sure if this has happened to you yet, but our second daughter, when she was younger, she'd get bad dreams and she's really stealthy. And she would walk into her bedroom and literally stand like right by your face. And she was so stealthy, you wouldn't hear her, you wouldn't see, but then you feel this breathing on your face, like, and she's like literally right there, and you wake up, and you're like, ah! And it's a little bit nerve-wracking, a little bit creepy, but then she's like, I got a bad dream. All right, sweetie, let's go back to bed and we'll talk about it. And so, they watch you while you sleep as well. So knowing this, what ought we do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I just got on my knees and I started praying, realizing parenting takes a lot of effort, as well as we need Jesus. We need the help of Jesus, and I hope to give you some of that information from Scripture this evening of what the Bible says on that. But I'm encouraged to see everyone here tonight. I'm encouraged that you want to learn more about how this great gift of parenting is, and that encourages me. I believe the best way to do this is to begin with prayer. I've got some sticky notes on the table that I would kind of like you to grab with your pen and write down what I would like to do. Maybe it's going to be a little awkward, I don't know, but we'll just do it in silence. But write down on that sticky note your kids' names, and just hand them to the person beside you that's not part of your family. And for about a minute, we're just going to pray for the kids on that piece of paper. And I'll just time you, and then I'll open our time up with prayer for the large group. But I'll give you a moment to write down those kids' names of yours, and then hand them to your neighbor. And then just in silence, pray that these kids will grow up as God-fearing, loving followers of Jesus. So, you got about 30 seconds. Jesus, I thank you so much for these parents. I thank you for their love for their kids. I thank you for the gift of children. I thank you that you have commanded us to be fruitful and multiply. I thank you, Jesus, for the kids and the children that are represented here this evening. I thank you for the children that are still in the womb in this room. I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to nurture these children to an understanding that they are sinners, that they need a Savior, and that Savior is you. And I pray that each one of these children that are represented in this room will accept you as their Lord and Savior, that they will live a God-fearing life, that they will be strong men and women of God that will hold your Bible as truth and bring many other people to know you as their Lord and Savior. Jesus, I pray this in your name. Amen. You can hold on to those pieces of paper if you want and maybe pray for those and stick them on your fridge. And I think that'd be great to be praying for our children, not just your own, but creating a legacy here at Westside Church. I've got a lot of notes, and I'm hoping I can get through them all. I really want to focus, I'll kind of give you an outline of what I want to focus. I actually did give you an outline of what I want to focus on, kind of cultivating a vision for your children. And that's kind of Westside's a vision for kids ministry. And then we're going to break for a moment or two, and then we're going to talk a little bit about discipline for your kids. So let's get started, cultivating a vision for your children. But before we get started, Aaron Rose, he's our techie guy today, or techie guy today. He's our tech guy, and he wrote this. He sent me a power or the keynote to help me write out our keynote for you guys, and this is what he wrote on mine. I thought it was pretty funny. But if you want to know what I think, it's one thing. Put your kids in a box and see if they can get out. If they can, there's hope. If they cannot, they are destined to wander the planet alone like the Incredible Hulk. But who's asking me? Aaron Rose. I thought that was a great quote, so I just left it in there. And I'll save that for eternity. I love when funny things happen like that. But cultivating a vision for your children, creating a vision for your kids, will help them set a course for their life that will bring glory and honor to God. In the next, hopefully, 45 minutes, I want to unpack this vision for Westside Kids. My prayer is that this will become your vision also. The vision for Westside Kids is this: grow in Christ and in spiritual maturity. In 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12, it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways, for now we see in a mirror, for now I see Jesus in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. In eternity, I will see him face to face. Now I see Jesus in part, then I shall know him fully. In eternity, I will know him fully, even as I have been known as fully known." So this is a passage speaking of a journey to become more like Christ, to the point of knowing him fully when we see him face to face. Parents of Westside, we need to effort to get our kids to this point. We need to effort in such a way to bring our kids to this, to desire to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Some application of this, I asked Jody to bring our kids' Bibles, but I'm not speaking rocket science here, but the thing is we need to do is do daily devotions with our kids. And I just want to give you some things that have worked for us, but daily devotions with our kids, we go into the Christian bookstore and buy some good Bibles that really work, and we've gone through a couple that that worked in the past, and some weren't all that good. This one here, Read and See DVD Bible, even comes with a little movie kind of slash dealy, but this one is really good for younger kids. It's got great stories, a lot of scripture. Obviously, everything's in scripture, but it gives you some verses as well that you can walk through with your kids. And Braylee is going through this right now. She's 4. She loves it. She's gone through it about three times already, and we've started back to the beginning. She finishes. I was able to finish the last page with her, and she's like, "Woohoo! I get to go back to the start again." So she loves this Bible, and as you read stories, they begin to follow along and are starting to remember those stories. As kids get older, this is a great one, Superhero Bibles. You can pick this up as well. Some of you may already have this one, but a great way to do that as a start is to read just the highlighted stories that are in that section, and then actually get into it a little more as they start graduating those stories, start working through some of the actual text that those stories come from. And start walking through it. And it depends really on your child. I started doing that with Cole. He's kind of an anomaly. My son, he's 11 now, but he just soaked everything up. I actually started reading my Bible to him when he was like 6, 7 years old, and he was tracking. Not every kid's going to do that. And now he probably reads more than most of us here. He was reading when we were commuting from North Delta. He'd read about a chapter, 2 chapters a day, out of a scripture, out of the Bible, which was awesome. And he retains like crazy. So, I don't want to put him on a pedestal, but I do because he's my son. I'm proud of him. But this is another one. This is for kind of like 6, 7 year old. Our third child, she's 7 right now, but she loves this Bible. She reads it all the time.
It's for younger kids.
Sorry. Yes, L, you'll hear about it as well. But L's 7 years old. She was born with Down syndrome, but she reads this like all the time. But I remember, like, all of our kids have gone through this. That's why it's a little bit beat up. But this Bible's really great. Great pictures. Great idea of what Scripture is, and the great stories in that. Hallie is going through this. This is a great book, Bible as well. The Picture Bible. It's like a comic book. So great stories, great images. This is probably one of my favorites. Cole went through his, and it just was destroyed. I think he went through it 3 times before we graduated to the next one. Finally said, okay, buddy, you're ready for the actual Bible that has all the words in it. But Hallie's going through this right now. We had her started going through this, and that's why I say every kid's different. Our second child, Hallie, she's 9 now, but she was going through this, started graduating to the regular text. Didn't really track with it at all. Didn't really get it. Didn't understand what was the stories. We'd read them to her. She was like, I don't get it. And so we got her this Bible, and now the stories become alive because of the pictures. And now we just read the story out of here, and then there's always a text at the top of where that story comes from. So we'll read this story and then now go to that text and read it straight out of the Bible. And then we can unpack it, and she can see the story. Oh, yeah, it comes alive to her. And so that's kind of how we do it. Not saying it's the right way. There's probably a million other ways to read the Bible. But those are things to grow in Christ and in spiritual maturity. We need to be doing devotions with our kids. It needs to be a daily routine. It needs to become a habit. Other things we need to do. We need to teach them the hard truths of Scripture, like suffering will take place in the promises of God when they persevere. We need to understand how we deal with suffering, how we deal with persecution, how you deal with that in your life, and so you can explain that to your children. I shared this with the Tuesday morning prayer group one Tuesday morning a few weeks ago, but Cole, he just started getting his email. He sent me his first email. It's really cool getting an email from your son for the very first time. It's like, hey, Dad, what is up? And it was pretty neat. And so I responded to him. And during this time, I knew that he was going through a lot of persecution at school. Our school's curriculum is off. It's teaching everything against what we follow and believe in. And I know he was getting a lot of persecution. So I sent him back a text, Matthew 10, 16 through 25. It is, you are a sheep thrown into the wolves. You're like a sheep getting thrown in the wolves, and you're going to be challenged. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be suffering. But when you're there, if you speak the gospel in truth, God's going to get, there's some promises here. God's going to give you the words to say. And if you endure in that time, you will be saved. So highlighting those promises of God is key to your kids. Highlighting the promises so they don't get frustrated by the persecution, by the stuff of this world that is trying to wear them down. So these are things we need to bring to light to our kids. These are things ages 2, 3, 4, 5, they're going to start getting. They're going to start understanding. So you will need to be an evangelist to your children. As 1 Peter 3:15 through 16 says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. That goes for your kids. When they ask, why, Dad, do you believe in Jesus? Why do we go to church? Deuteronomy 6:20 talks about this. What are we supposed to say to our children when they ask about the Red Sea parting? This is what you say. What do we say in Joshua 4:6? It talks about when Israel went across the Jordan River. And Joshua took him across there, and God's like, I want you to build a stack of stones up together. And when your kids ask about that stack of stones, this is what you tell them. It's your testimony. It's your example of living as parents. We see this in Jesus as he invites the little children to himself to pray for and lay hands on. This is all assuming that you guys, you parents, are growing in your faith. And that's, you need to be doing devotions. You need to be doing devotions as parents. We need to be studying, reading, listening, hearing, memorizing, meditating as daily habits as parents. Habits is a great analogy, but you can write that down if you want. I'm just going to kind of skim through this so we can move on. But having time with God, A is accountability. Are you a member of Westside? Kids will see that. Like, they watch you, and they're watching when you're asleep, and they're going to watch you how you do church. B, Bible memorization. Are you taking time during your day as a follower of Jesus to memorize Scripture? This teaches kids to do the same. Last summer we were camping, and Jody was working through a study of Colossians and memorizing different texts of Colossians. And Cole watches her doing this around the camp as we're camping, and it's like, hey, I want to memorize some Scripture. Awesome. And then when Cole's doing it, all the little girls are going, hey, Cole's memorizing Scripture, I want to do it too. Awesome. And so they get to see this example. I is involvement in the church. Are you showing as an example to your children a service mentality? Are you showing that this is an important part of being part of the community, or are you only taken from it? I think that's huge as parents. You may not have time to help. I get that, but everyone needs to eat. And what I mean by that is we go to a church filled with young people, right? We have a lot of college-age students that don't have regular homes, or that when they go home, their couch hits their bed and their TV at the same time. So we need to invite those people over. Allow them to watch you raise your children. Feed them. Care for them. See what their story is. Great opportunity to do ministry. I think it'd also be great to have a father and son greeting at the door. How cool is that? I see that actually over here. You guys having your little daughter, right? Greeting at the door. I think that's awesome. Having a father and son wake up 2 times a month early to come help set up on the setup team. Then going out for Tim Hortons after or whatever. Grabbing a hot chocolate and a donut and celebrating Jesus. These are all great ideas that you can do to be involved in the church. T, tithing. Do your kids see an example of you giving regularly to the church? Do you encourage them to give? This is the straight up example of trust and faith in Jesus to your children. That you hold no possession higher than Jesus. That what you have is from Jesus and you desire to give back to Him. S is studying Scripture. Not just reading the Bible, but actually studying it. I know there's some women here that go to Nicole's study, and that requires a lot of study time. And that requires studying maybe when your kids are still up and when they're seeing you. And that's important for you moms and for dads as well. More important almost for dads, for your kids to see you study the Bible. So when the dishes are done, grabbing your Bible, putting them on the dinner table, and just start reading Scripture and then getting excited about the application that you're finding out. And then sharing that with your kids. Hey, Johnny, come here. You got to see what I just read in the Bible. It's so exciting. That's huge. Because Deuteronomy 6:7, it says this. You shall. What are you shall do? Well, Moses is coming with the commandments and the laws and the statutes of God. And he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So, and then just in case you missed it, in Deuteronomy 11:19, Moses says exactly the same thing. We need to parent in such a way that when our kids are away from us 6 hours, Monday through Friday, from grade one on, they will have an answer for the hope they have. Our vision is that our kids will grow in Christ and in maturity. My hope and prayer is that as parents, we will have that same vision. The second one is this, are firmly established in faith and doctrine. I've interviewed kids that have gone through Christian school from grade 1 to 12, Christian school, that cannot share the gospel. We need to be there and teach them, to firmly establish them in faith and doctrine. We have seen in the study of Acts, men like Simon who have walked through the waters of baptism but yet still have a corrupted heart. Friends, we need to be firm in our presenting of the gospel to our children. Like Deuteronomy 6:11, give us. Everywhere you are, share it with your kids. Jesus says we are to go and make disciples of all nations. This needs to start with our family. some application from this. Take your kids on walks in the forest. Take them to the beach. Take them to the ocean. Go camping with them. When you're brushing their teeth, look in the mirror down at their face and say, wow, you are an image bearer of God. Give them that significance, that dignity, that self-worth, that what that means. You're an image bearer of God. Do this with urgency. In Romans 1:20, it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Your kids are without excuse. We need to share with them this. Psalm 19:1 also says a very similar thing. And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. We need to share with them always, so when the world starts teaching God out of them, they resist and know why they resist and have an answer for the foolishness of this world. I'm not saying that we have any say whether or not God will change their heart, but we can pray and teach as though we did. So we need to get off our couch and begin the real job of parenting when you come home from work and teach your kids about Jesus and the amazing sacrifice he did for them on the cross. Third thing is this, is discover, develop, and fruitfully use their gifts. Again, this starts with you as parents. Do you know your spiritual gifts? Do you know what spiritual gifts are given? When you have a grasp of what these gifts are, you will be able to determine what gifts your kids might possess when they surrender their lives to Jesus. This will be key so that you can help develop and nurture them as they seek to serve the body of Christ. On your handout, you have some passages where the gifts are listed out. Scripture never gives an exhaustive list, but does share which one we are to live by, and that's 1 Corinthians 13:13. We need to live by love. It's the greatest of these. So in all these things, as we serve the church, we need to love. Fourth one is this, passionately embrace and pursue a God-centered vision for their lives. Passionately embrace and pursue a God-centered vision for their lives. Deuteronomy 31 says this. Moses again goes to the Levites and to the priestly nation and says, these are the commands and the laws and the statutes of God. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, the one that's kind of visiting, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of this law. And that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. What this verse, when reading this is devos with kids that they may fear and obey God. This is bring them regularly to church. This is being involved in small groups so that your kids see a sense of commitment from you towards others. This is not maybe not lead the small group, maybe host a small group. Maybe lead a small group. Be a part of a community that your kids can see you in. We as parents all want our kids to be solid leaders, but not every one of our kids will be a leader, except mine. All right? I'm glad you laughed at that. So we need to help them choose their friends wisely. We need to be part of that process. Help choose your kids' friends. Know if your child is being influenced or if he or she is the influencer. As parents, we need to passionately embrace and pursue Christ's vision, not ours. Jesus had the will of his Father to fulfill. That was his vision, to fulfill his Father's will. In Hebrews 10:5-7, it says, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God. Jesus fulfilled that 2,000 years ago when he was on the cross, spread out on the cross after suffering. And he yelled out, it is finished. I've succeeded. I've done your will. See, we need to, as parents, set our children on a course that will fulfill God's will. In Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So I need to ask you as parents, what is most important to you and your for your kids? Is it to live and glorify God or to be comfortable with house, dog, and picket fence? How we act and what we make ultimate is what our kids will make ultimate. Jody and I got a huge wake-up call a few years ago. Huge wake-up call, kick in the pants, if you will. We are running around from practice, to game, to lesson, etc. We are running ragged, thinking this was best for our children. This is best. Man, our kids are going to be well-versed in sports. They're going to play the right instrument. They're going to be popular. They're going to be well-liked around the community. I was missing out on Bible story time with my two youngest because I was coaching my two oldest. I was missing out on tucking in time because I was at a game coaching my kid. We loved and played with our kids always, but something we were failing at was doing it all together. So we sat down with our kids, and with gentleness, we asked them straight up, set them on the couch. It's pretty cute, actually, four of them all sitting there. We said, would you be upset if you guys stopped playing basketball and baseball and swimming lessons and piano lessons? Would you be upset at that? You know what? It shocked me probably a lot more than Jody, but the kids were like just instantly, cared less. I don't care about that stuff. I just want to play with you, Dad. Killed me. We thought we were doing them a right thing, but they just wanted to hang out with Dad. They just wanted to play hockey in the backyard, not with the team. They wanted to play soccer on the grass and run around and play tag. They wanted to be with Dad. They wanted me tucking them in and reading Bible stories. I had to repent because I wanted my kids to be the athlete, the popular kid, rather than setting a vision that has the aroma of eternity. I'm not saying that sports are wrong. You just need to manage it really, really well. Know your kids, how they're acting. We saw a lot of signs from our kids that made us do that. We pulled everything out for a year, started going on family walks, going down to the ice cream parlor and getting some ice cream. It was awesome. As a family. Now they've turned into family runs because Elle loves to run, so we run. And then she stops and I carry her, and then she, Daddy, down. Okay, I'll run again. And it's a lot of fun. We had family move nights before. Now it's regular movie nights. Kids are excited. Friday night, it's homemade pizza. We all get together, make some pizza together, have some family movie night. Jody's got these little tickets, and we get tickets, and the kids, all the little girls, they stand beside the table. Oh, is a ticket, please? And we get the tickets, and we get treats, and it's awesome. The kids love it. So our kids may not be the best athletes, but they know we love them unconditionally. They know God loves them more, and that we are proving this through the vision we are casting for their lives and what we now make ultimate. Other things to vision and dream about with your kids. What's further education look like? Like, think long term with your kids as well. In my house, it's Bible school for at least a year and then university or college. It's like there's no choice. You go into Bible school. Jesus studied for 30 years prior to being on the scene as we know it. So to have the purpose of love God, love others as yourself, and teach others to do the same. I'm not saying this is the only way. But give options for your kids that will strengthen and push their understanding of Jesus. Dare I say, isn't that more important? The fifth one, meaningfully engage in worship, study, prayer, and ministry. It is vital that you do church together as a family. Vital. Doing church together as a family is huge. Like, kids learn how to behave in public from you, like please and thank yous, Mr. and Mrs. They also learn how to worship from you. Kids watch you as you take notes. Kids watch you as you sing, as you worship Jesus, your Creator. They watch you as you take the bread and the cup, and they'll ask you questions. Just like the rock stacked up when Joshua took Israel across the river. That's like our picture. bread and communion. Why do you take that? Well, because of Jesus. Let me tell you about him. It's a great way to begin to share Jesus with them. How you serve, how you prepare, etc. Remember that you are the prime example to your children. Right at the start I said that. You're the prime example. You're the prime influencer of your kids. So learning why we sing, why baptism, why communion, why we give needs to come from. why we give needs to come from you. There's no doubt the church will teach these things as well, but this responsibility really lies with you as dad and mom. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Number six, apply a robust and biblical vision for manhood and womanhood. One of the biggest factors for this is to take place lies in the father. The great comedian Lucille Ball, everybody know Lucille Ball? It's like old school right there. Lucille Ball was on a talk show, Merv Griffin. I remember watching this when I was a little kid, but not this show in particular. But Lucille Ball was on the Merv Griffin show. Merv Griffin asked her this question. What's happened to our country? What's wrong with our children? Why are our families falling apart? What's missing? And this comedian, her quick response was, Papa's missing. Papa's missing. Boys and girls need their dads. Edwin Cole, the founder of Christian Men's Network, rightly labels father absence as the curse of the day. The world's idea of manhood and womanhood is not working. It's not working. Look around. Our worldly idea of manhood, not working. Our worldly idea of womanhood, not working. We are seeing a spike in armed robbery, rape, murder, and other violent crimes, and it is not a coincidence. From 1950 to 1980, during the same time the crime rates have spiked, the annual rate of illegitimate births increased 450%. Worldwide, every day there are 115,000 babies aborted. Our culture's idea is not working. We need to be urgent as parents to develop biblical ideas of what masculinity and femininity look like to our children. Not to sound like a broken record, but dads, you are the biggest role model for this. And it's not just to your boys, but to your girls as well. Some application, Ephesians 5 talks about marriage. Men, you are to serve your wives as Christ served the church. You are to bring your wife holy and blameless before the throne of God. Basically, what that means is you need to love your wife so much that she will love Jesus more than you. That's what you need. Your number one goal is to make her love Jesus more than you. Bring her holy and blameless before the throne of God. Secondly, you need to do the same with your children. On average, this is a just crazy stat, American fathers give each of their children a mere 3 minutes of undivided attention a day. 3 minutes a day. And you know what? When I read that stat, I started thinking about my day. I was like, yeah, that's about right. 3 minutes of undivided attention a day. That's a sobering statement. An author put it this way, this curse of the day is creating an American male who is confused about his identity and under a great deal of psychological stress and who ends up lashing out in frustration. Our land is increasingly filled with anger, frustrated, isolated young men who no longer know who they are. Disinterested fathers also take a toll on their daughters. It is so important to know how your kids express their love because most often that is how they want to be loved. I have a daughter who loves gifts. Went on a mission trip last summer or two summers ago. And I came home with presents for all my kids, and all the three other kids were like, yeah, thanks, Dad. And my one daughter is just like, oh, this is the best thing you've ever bought me. Mm-hmm. It's just their love language, right? And so she puts it on, and every time she wears it, she makes sure I notice. Dad, see what I'm wearing? And she just loves that. And like I said, it was 2 years ago. She's grown. She doesn't want to pass it down to her sisters. Because it's daddy's gift to me. And every time I see it, I know her other love language is really words of affirmation, because every time she's wearing it, I say, sweetie, you are so beautiful. And I can see her literally grow like 3 inches. Dads, your words, your positive feedback, no matter how small a thing it may be, is essential. It's essential. Listen to this horrific story of a failure of a father. Have you ever heard of a father who won't talk to his daughter? My father doesn't seem to know I'm alive. In my whole life, he has never said he loves me or given me a goodnight kiss unless I asked him to. Let me just stop here in the story. Kiss your kids. Kiss your kids. My boy still gets kisses. It will prove to him masculinity. Don't let this culture mess you up. Your boy, if you're a dad, your boy needs a kiss from you. I'm going to kiss my boy until he's 40, and hopefully I'm in heaven by then, but straight up, give him a kiss. That's what a man ought to be. Gentle, respectful, honoring. Kiss your boys. And your girls need to be hugged and kissed. I think the reason he ignores... This is the girl, back to the girl. I think the reason he ignores me is because I'm so boring. I look at my friends and think, if I were funny like Jill or a super brain like Sandy or even outrageous and punk like Tasha, he would put down his paper and be fascinated. I play the recorder, and for the past 3 years, I've been a soloist in the fall concert at school. Mom comes to the concerts, but Dad never does. This year, I'm a senior, so it's his last chance. I'd give anything to look out into the audience and see him there. But who am I kidding? It will never happen. Girls in this situation will seek out male attention elsewhere. Dads, you do not want this. You do not want that. Application. Take your kids out on dates. One-on-one dates. Give them more than 3 minutes a day of undivided attention. Dress up. Get some cologne on. Get some deodorant on. And take your little daughters out on dates. Hold their hand. Treat them like little ladies. Open the door for them. Get them into the car. Treat them nice. So that they know what a man ought to be when they're dating, when they get older. Your boys, same thing. Teach them how to be a man on a date. Take them out. Show them what it is to be a man. Open doors for other people. Open doors for him. Teach him where to walk on the sidewalk when he's walking beside a girl. Teach the kids where to go in order when a guy and a girl are walking down an aisle. Who goes first? Teach them these things. Teach them to be a man. Every kid needs that time with you. Fathers, this is your responsibility. This is not a calling, but a duty, a charge, and an obligation as fathers. It's a charge. This means you may need to give up some hobbies. It may mean miss the third period of a hockey game so you can tuck your kids in one kid at a time, 10 minutes. Teach them about Jesus. Hear about their day at night. Listen to their stories. Tickle their face with your finger. Put them to bed nice. Take some time with them. I promise you, you won't get that back. That's one guarantee I can guarantee you. Taking your daughters out on dates will teach your boy how to treat women and your girls how they ought to be treated. It is important that they learn from that from you and not the greasy kid that owns a van when they become teenagers. Right? Thanks for laughing, Bruno. Appreciate it. Thoughtfully and effectively engage the culture for the sake of the gospel. Do missions as a family. We had the opportunity in 2008 to take 3 of our kids on a mission trip. It's still talked about to this day around the dinner table. It was huge. Some of the things that went on that trip. I saw my daughter turn. Actually, I could see the light go off. And just like this, almost like the Spirit descended upon her and just becoming, yeah, now I know she's a follower of Jesus Christ. I saw my kids, I was holding their hands, witnessing to a man on the street. And my kids got to see that. We walk around the corner and they're like, Dad, we should pray for him. That's awesome. You don't get that all the time. Take your kids on mission trips. Do that here in Vancouver. Go do Bridging the Gap with your kids. Share a meal with a stranger. One of my fondest memories is, Jody, you probably remember this too, but going to Vancouver, Christmas shopping years ago, and my two oldest kids, they see a man outside the Starbucks when we're sipping hot chocolate, and they said, "Dad, look, it's a homeless man." So I get up and I call my two oldest. I say, "Guys, come with me." And so we go outside, grab this guy and say, "Hey, can we buy a meal for you down at McDonald's around the corner?" He's like, "Sure." So we go sit down, grab a meal with him, sit down at McDonald's and share a meal with him and talk about Jesus the whole time while my kids are sitting right here. And so we walk back initially I was like, man, we did it for this guy. But you know what I did it for? I did it for my kids. So they would see an example of service to others. Now, like when my kids see homeless people, they see, man, I wonder if they need something. Can we give them something? They remind me of doing that because sometimes I'm lost in my daily activity. Jody's driving down the street now. She's got extra granola bars in this truck so she can hand them out when people will come and wash the windows. Engage your kids, bring them into the culture. The last one is more of a statement than anything, but we want to bring, as Westside Children's Ministry, I'm hoping as you as well, that want to bring our kids to a Christ-exalting, mission-minded, soul-winning, justice-pursuing, God-fearing, Christ-treasuring, joyfully self-forgetting, passion-spreading, spiritually fruitful men and women who are devoted to spreading a passion for the supremacy of God in all things for the joy of all peoples through Jesus Christ. Do you have a vision for your family? Do you have a vision for your kids? If you don't, adopt this one. I did. It's from John Piper's church, Bethlehem Baptist. All right? And I've adopted it to make it West Sides. So it's all about Jesus. We're going to break for like 5 minutes, grab some...